Running the option on first down. Hagan has it. He has room. He's got one man to beat. Now he pitches to Flanagan, and he may take it all the way. Flanagan's in for the touchdown.
McKinley Wright from the logo.
Oh,
got it. Oh, McKinley Wright.
Breaks a tackle. Touchdown. Touchdown. That's five for Chris Brown.
The defensive Tomlinson.
It go. He's got three people down there. The ball's up in the air. Caught. Touchdown. Caught by Westbrook for a touchdown.
I think they like my Colorado swag. Cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in it go, you know I'm acting bad. Holly get a bus with my Colorado swag.
Welcome into the DNVR Buffs podcast presented by Manscaped. I'm Henry Chisholm, and we're doing another one of these today. I woke up early and recorded a podcast this morning, and you know what? It was still the right decision because I feel like there was a lot of stuff to talk about, but the big news didn't come out until basically right now. So, let's see. About an hour ago, the Pac-12 sent out an email that had the schedule for the 2020 football season in it. And there were some changes to the Buffs schedule, and we're going to dig into all of those in a second. And then after that, I jumped on the media call for the entire conference to talk with Larry Scott and David Shaw. For those of you who don't know, Larry Scott is the commissioner of the Pac-12. David Shaw is the head football coach at Stanford. Well, actually, that's not his title. His title is actually Stanford's Bradford M. Freeman Director of Football, because that's what Stanford does, is give simple jobs all these complicated names because they think, well, it doesn't matter. We don't need to go down that road. But yeah, so we heard from him. We heard from the Arizona State Vice President for University Athletics. And we also heard from the Dr. Doug Aukerman, Oregon State Senior Associate Athletic Director of Sports Medicine, who's kind of talking to us about all the medical stuff. It was good stuff. I'm not going to lie. There wasn't a whole lot in there that was unexpected, necessarily. You've heard probably over the course of the last like 4 months how people involved with sports talk about the coronavirus. And it was a lot more of that than there really isn't much else to it. You know, there were a couple like more pointed questions. Like, I think David Shaw got asked, so if your student athletes turn on one station, they're going to hear that the coronavirus is a deadly disease. If they turn on another, they're going to hear that it's basically the flu. How do you deal with that? You know, it's a good question. I think you probably could have taken a little bit of the politics out. But basically, David Shaw said, we don't care about that. We have a great medical staff. I mean, he basically said, like, dude, this is Stanford. We know how all these diseases work. And even if we didn't, then, I mean, we have to follow the laws that are in place anyway. We have to follow the guidelines that are in place anyway. So it doesn't really matter. But even that is not really relevant to this podcast at all. It's just one of the few times that we got at least kind of off script. For the most part, there was a lot of praise for everybody working together, coming to decide this. And I guess there was some interesting stuff, you know. Larry Scott said this is plan B. Plan A was playing the full season. Now we're here at plan B and we have to be flexible. There might be a plan C, a plan D, a plan E. We don't know. But here's where we are right now. And I think that's all we're going to talk about with that call. But the Buffs have a football schedule. And it's not the same football schedule that we thought it would be. And to be honest, my initial reaction is that it's worse. And that's kind of what everybody's agreeing with on Twitter as well. So I don't think I'm crazy. We're going to dig into that. But first, I do want to tell you just a little bit more about our friends over at Manscaped. Manscaped is an incredible company. You know, like I said in the first Buffs pod today, I'm headed over to watch a bunch of sports tonight and win a bunch of money. That can be stressful. That stress can make you sweat, and it can make you sweat below the belt. Thank goodness I just lathered on some crop preserver. Also, it's hot outside. It's like 90 degrees, and I'm wearing some cotton shorts, so that's going to make things even worse. Guess what? Don't even have to worry about it because of the crop preserver. The deodorant, the ball deodorant, I guess is what they call it. Such good stuff. The Lawnmower 3.0 is a great trimmer. Check out all their products at manscaped.com and use the code DMVR20 when you check out to save 20% and get yourself free shipping. Okay, so the changes to the buff schedule start right off the top. Before we talk about those changes in particular, I want to start by saying the conference schedule will begin on September 26th. That is when it was scheduled to begin. There were some talks that maybe they could push that back. They could even move it up now that those non-conference games are not on the schedule anymore. But they decided to leave that where it is. From there, every team will have a bye week at some point between week 4 and week 6. Those are, I don't know. I would have probably just had one bye week for every team and say, hey, everybody, week 6 is a bye. If you need to reschedule a game, you reschedule it there. It makes sense because they need to like spread things out, because you don't want to just have a week where there's no football and nobody can watch you on TV and the TV people won't like that. And then there's even more competition in the other weeks because typically, I mean, what is this? Basically, let's see, there's 3 weeks, so 4 teams are sitting out each week. That means all those games are going to get watched more. You know, I understand why they wouldn't do all 1 week, but I think in a situation like this, if you want to give yourself the absolute most amount of flexibility, which I think has to be the strategy here, you have to be looking for as much flexibility as you can. And they did a good job of like adding flexibility, but this was a spot where I think that we have to, sorry, I got a little distracted. There was just a tweet from Jeff Passan. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of the MLB, just said that the executive director of the MLBPA, Tony Clark, needs to do a better job of managing the coronavirus. Otherwise, it could shut down for the season. MLB could. So, not a good sign. But see, that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about with college football. And I think that if it were me, I would have pushed really hard to make all these buys week 6. And as it stands now, I mean, at least for the most part, I think, so every team, it's their week 1 opponent, and it's their week 1 opponent that matches their bye week. And it looks like, for the most part, it's the week 2. So let's see. Colorado's bye is week 5. Before that, they play Oregon, Utah, Arizona, and USC. And we'll dig into those matchups in particular in a second. But the other team, so their other 3 teams with a bye that week are Washington State, Utah, and Oregon, all of whom they'll play. Well, I guess they won't play Oregon State before, will they? So, I mean, for the most part, though, they did try to line those bye weeks up with the teams that you'll play before the bye, which makes sense. But I do still think just make that week 6 for everybody. And then they also added a bye week at the end of the season. There's like a week 12 in there. It's 10-game schedule, 1 bye week, and then 1 open week for the whole conference. That's another opportunity to make up a game if it gets canceled for whatever reason. They were asked, like, what does it take for a team to have to pull out of a game? The answer is we don't even know, but we'll figure that out. So, yeah, let's dig in. That's the basic structure. Colorado opens the season against Oregon, again, as was expected. They were supposed to play them on September 26th, but they moved that game to Eugene. So for the second straight season, the Buffs will traveling to Eugene to take on the Oregon Ducks. That's going to be an even tougher game than it would have been. From there, they're at home to play Utah. So in the first 2 weeks, they'll play both of the 2 teams who played in the Pac-12 title game last year. And then they're on the road, back-to-back weeks from there, playing Arizona, USC. That's a tough stretch. 3 of their first 4 games on the road. Their 1 home game comes against Utah, potentially the best team in the Pac-12. I don't think they will be, but they'll be top 4. That's going to be a tough game to win. Oregon and USC, I think, are probably my favorites to go to the Pac-12 title game this year. Playing both of them on the road to start this season, that's rough. Arizona is the other road game. that's winnable. And not only is it winnable, that's a game they need to win. You really can't afford to drop that one, because then you're going to the bye week, likely 0-4, and that is where the bye week is, week 5 there. And then from there, though, this is the flip side, is that you get 4 of 6 at home to end the season, home against Arizona State, at Washington, home against UCLA, at Stanford, home against Oregon State, home against Washington State to finish the season out. Winnable games. You know, you look through the schedule and say the bottom tier, to me at least, is probably Arizona, UCLA, Oregon State, Washington State. You get 3 of those 4 at home. All 3 of those home games are late in the season when you'd think that this young team is playing its best football of the year. I think you would probably make the same argument for each of those 3 teams too. But they'll have a good chance in all of those games, especially because they're at home. I don't hate this schedule. I'll say that. I don't hate it. As long as this team can get through those first 4 weeks, get through that bye week without losing all confidence, and they're still in a mental space where they can be building and trying to get better, they'll have a path to winning 5 games, really. I mean, you win those 3, you're on the road against Washington and Stanford. You beat both those teams last year, although those games were at home. You could see this being kind of the reverse of that 5-7 season where they started 5-0, blew the game against Oregon State in the 6th game of the year, and then just lost the rest of the way. You know, you lose those first 4, you have real shots. In those last 6, that Arizona State game is at home, which gives you a much better opportunity. You know, Colorado famously beat Arizona State on the road last year. Mel Tucker wore shorts. It was the first time Colorado had beaten a ranked opponent on the road since like 2002, I think. You know, Arizona State, as much as I think that that's a team that is a lot better than people are give that credit for, and Jaden Daniels is a better quarterback than people give him credit for, that's a game they can win at home. And even that Utah game, you could see a path, although I think both those two you have to call losses, knowing only what we know now. So yeah, I did just want to jump in here and give some quick thoughts. Again, let's just run through this. And Oregon on the road, I'm going to call that a loss. Utah at home, I'm going to call that a loss. Arizona on the road, going to call that a loss, although that is one that the Buffs could steal and probably need to steal. And then you go to USC on the road, going to call that one a loss. You have the bye week, so you go into that bye week 0-4. You come out of that, I'm going to say you lose to Arizona. So that's 0-5. And then Washington on the road, I think you win that game. UCLA at home, I think you win that game. Stanford on the road, since we called Washington a win, I'll call Stanford a loss. You lose that one. And then you win against Oregon State at home. You win against Washington State at home. I think 4-6 is a pretty fair projection here. I feel like that's a pretty neutral take. It might be a little Buffs favored, but not by much at the very least. You know, if we were just doing like the numbers thing the way guys do that now, where it's like this team is going to win 3.7 games, like I think that would be the number, is like 3.7 in my mind. We'll see though. Again, the big takeaway here is this opening stretch is going to be brutal for a young team and potentially a true freshman quarterback, at the very least a quarterback who is extremely inexperienced, whether it's Brennan Lewis, Tyler Lytle, or Sam Neuer. And then the end of the year, you have a whole lot of opportunities. All 5 of those last 5 games are extremely winnable. The Buffs just need to be building to that point and not getting down based on the beginning of the season schedule. Another fun note is that the Pac-12 championship won't be a neutral site game. It won't be played at the Raiders' new stadium like it was supposed to. It'll actually be played by, I believe, the team with the better home record or better record out of the Pac-12 North winner and Pac-12 South winner. They haven't been very clear about how exactly the home team will be decided, but you have to guess that'll be the first thing they look at, and if it's the same record, then I'm not sure where you go from there. But that could also be fun. And you know what? If the Buffs pull a couple early upsets, especially you look at that game against USC, you look at the game against Utah, if they actually win those 2 games, they're going to be in great position to cling to a Pac-12 South lead. And who knows, maybe you could see a Pac-12 title game in Folsom. It takes some crazy stuff, but 2020 is a crazy year, and the Buffs have some crazy talent that I'm pretty bought in on. I think that's going to do it for the show. I know it's kind of like a short one. It's like 15 minutes, but there's a schedule, and so I wanted to jump in and just talk about it, because the other option was to wait until Monday, and that sounds awful. Might as well shout out Breckenridge Brewery while we're here. Love Breckenridge Brewery. I'm like an hour away from my first beer of the day, which is a pretty good time. You know, this is when you get to start counting down and saying, oh yeah, how long now? 50 minutes, 45 minutes, 30 minutes. Oh, here it comes. And then you get to drink a big old beer. I think I said before, I'm going with the Strawberry Sky, the best beer that has ever been made. Yep. I couldn't think of another. You can eat at the farmhouse by going down to Littleton. You can order curbside pickup or delivery. And if you use the code DNVR when you do that, you can save $5 off your purchase. It's a good deal, and it's good food. So support them because they support us. Also, check out that Breckenridge beer locator on the website to figure out where you can try whichever Breckenridge beer it is that you want to try. I will see you all on Monday, I believe. Actually, no, college podcast tomorrow morning. Me and Justin Michaels, CSU Rams guy. We are talking all things college football at 9 a.m. tomorrow. So that show will be up like 10 or 11 or so before the Nuggets game. That's the important note. Before the Nuggets game, that show will be up. So be on the lookout, and I'll see you then. I think they like my Colorado swag.
Pushing 180, speeding pad competition. See you later, baby. Colorado Army with soldiers like the Navy, and boaters where we stationed, patiently awaiting. When I hit the field, it's so hard to behave. I'm Colorado swagging as the crowd do the wave. Look into my eyes, I can tell that you afraid, cause you know we finna hit ya, hit ya. Hey, you on your own now? Why you watching the official? You just better hope you make it to the next whistle. And we ain't playing with you, you can get it anytime. It started at the scrimmage, we gon' win it at the line. My Colorado swag in the middle of the ring, throwing blows, knocking down team after team.
I think they like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in that go, you know I'm acting bad. Holla, get a bus with my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. Man, I swear, I think they like my Colorado swag.
Have you ever seen a Ram?
I'm Boulder, Colorado.
Buffalo is what I am.
All the teams come and follow.
When I start, hit the field,
the opposing crowd swallow.
Cause they know I'm about to kill.
He gon' feel that tomorrow.
Whole team full of warriors.
Got me feeling tribal. Big 12, here we come. We ain't worried about a rival.
If you wanna come and get it, we'll wait for your arrival.
When you hit this Folsom field, man, it's all about survival.
Why you make it, why you make it? Yeah, you better bring your Bible.
Crack back, blind side, flat line, no revival.
Get them bucks, mess them up. We say we got them.
If we don't, then we'll get them. When we see them, then we
have them. Like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in that go, you know I'm acting bad. Holla, get a bus with my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. Man, I swear, I think they like my Colorado swag.
I think they like my Colorado swag.
Cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in that go, you know I'm acting bad. Holla, get a bus with my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. Man, I swear, I think they like my Colorado swag.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! Our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.